What's the high temperature going to be today? We got to get to 90? Yeah, so we're looking at 90 degrees or so. If we go forward 2 months, it will be Advent. We will be in the season of Advent. It's going to be 90 degrees today, and in 2 months, we will be in the season of Advent. Advent being the season that comes before the celebration of Christmas. Christmas being probably of the two major Christian feast celebrations. Easter is the greatest and the first, most likely, but I think most people would say Christmas is probably the second in terms of celebration and most recognized widely. So that, and here's the thing, you don't get Easter if you don't have Christmas. Right? There's no Christ to live for us and die for us and rise for us, independent of Christ coming to us. So at Christmas, we celebrate that. And in that celebration, we have God choosing to come to us as a person. God taking on the human form, being one of us. And the word for that is incarnation. You may hear that word on occasion. Probably most of you have heard it in passing in church settings, but that's basically all it is. Incarnation means God becoming one of us, God taking on human form. I want to say about incarnation this morning, that event that we'll be celebrating soon, incarnation is, I think, the first clue I would point to make the case that I want to make, that I think is a scriptural case, but the case I want to make for you this morning, that our bodies matter. Our bodies are important. They're not just a house to get our spirit around. They are important. And when God chooses to become one of us by becoming one of us, that tells us something about the value that God places on our human forms, our bodies. Now, up till now, in this review of spiritual disciplines, practices, I think they kind of fall into a similar pattern, a similar category. So we've talked about solitude, you know, finding a place for ourselves. We talked about scripture and making time to read scripture and be in God's word and to meditate on it. And we have talked about prayer. Last week we were talking about prayer, the invitation God's makes to be in conversation with God and to have a personal one-to-one ongoing conversation, open line with God. Today's discipline is different than those. Today's discipline is honoring the body. Now, I think those other three fit more with the way we traditionally think of a spiritual discipline or practice, in that they're thought processes, they're things we can do with our minds. And we tend to think of the spiritual in terms of the mind, that somehow one equals the other. And we think less of spiritual and the body. And yet I would say that the body and honoring the body is something that God took seriously and God continues to take seriously. Honoring the body is something the Christian folks seeking spiritual wisdom have actually often run in the opposite direction from. So, like I was saying, there is an easiness in embracing the things of the mind as being spiritual, but sometimes stepping away from the body, it's so real, it's so physical, and somehow that seems different than what we think of when we think of God. And in fact, at times, well-intentioned folks have created a false competition between the body and the spirit. And the argument has been that the spirit is good, and at the same time, that the body is a problem. As though if we were just disembodied spirits running around, we would avoid all the problems that we have. And it's actually the body that's dragging us down, and the spirit, left to its own devices, would be fine. That there's faultiness in that. And one of the most powerful forms of heresy from the early church. And by heresy, you can use the word false teachings, things that are in opposition to what the church decided was correct belief. But one of the most prevalent of these in the early church, and one that continues on to this day in certain forms, is that of Gnosticism. And the Gnostics, in brief, there are entire books on Gnosticism and on the Gnostics. So I'm not going to preach an entire book. I'm going to preach you a sentence here on the Gnostics. The Gnostics say, we are spirits trapped in bodies in the material world. That's Gnosticism in a nutshell. We are spirits trapped in bodies in a material world. And you can tell what they thought was good of those three things. Spirit, good. Now, if you're trapped in something, probably not good. So bodies, bad. And material world, well, that's just like the body, except it's outside of yourself. So probably even worse. So Gnostics believe the spirit was a good thing, the body was not a good thing, and material world not a good thing. The early church indeed said, this is heresy. This is not correct belief. And there's reasons. First, who made the material world? We have a word for the material world, and the word is creation. God made the material world. God formed the material world from nothing. God pulled it together. Second, this goes back to what I was just talking about at the beginning. When God chose to save us, God became what? A human being, walking around in a human body. And the Gnostics would have us believe that they weren't really touching each other. There was a spirit animating a body, but the body really wasn't the important thing. And the early church rejected that and said that would not work. That if it was actually to be salvation, that Jesus had to be fully God and fully human, which means fully in a body. Finally, I want to pick up the God didn't just make the material world. And this is a really powerful argument in this instance. But God didn't just make the material world. So if you go back to the creation story in Genesis, Genesis 1, after each of the 6 days of creation, God sums up the day's activities. What does God say about each day when God is finished doing what God has done that day? It is good. He didn't say, any spirits I may have fashioned in this day were good, everything else not so much. He said, it is good. God called God's creation good. So it would probably be at our risk and our peril were we to decide God was a little off base with that pronouncement, and actually the creation is not so good. So throughout history, from that time forward, from the time of the church to the present day, oftentimes the physical body has been seen and viewed and described as less important, less valued by God. And this morning's spiritual discipline and the scripture that we've got to go along with that discipline push back against that and ask us to take our physical body seriously. Larger portion of the passage this morning, so 1 Corinthians 6, you may have noticed that was a really brief scripture reading. There's a larger, fuller paragraph of which it is a part, in which the specific thing that Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about is sexual promiscuity. And he's telling them it's not the best idea. That this practice that seems to be going on in that community is something they need to avoid. They need to not do this. And he cautions them against doing it. Now, there are reasons why he could have said that. And they would have been good reasons. If you read that paragraph, he could have argued about that objectifying people to use them as bodies is a bad thing. He could have said that just the idea of using other people is a bad thing. Both of those would have been good arguments, and they're not what he said. They are not the reason that Paul gave. What Paul actually said is this. He tells them, you can put it briefly this. God made your body. God gave you your body. God made your body. And beyond that, God lives in your body. And what he means by that is, You are a part of Christ. So how you act in your body, what you do with your body, you are doing with the gift that God has given to you, and you're doing it knowing that you're carrying God along with you as you do it. So behaving poorly with your body, Paul is saying, is dishonoring Christ. You see the connection there? That when we do things that are questionable with our bodies, when we act in ways that don't value or say that this is important, what we're doing is dishonoring the God who gave us bodies, as well as dishonoring the God who dwells within us. And he wraps it up with the words, and since it's short, I'll share them with you again. Having heard that, you can hear this again. Don't you know that your body is a holy temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Don't you know that you have the Holy Spirit from God, and you don't belong to yourselves? You have been bought and paid for. So honor God with your body. This is Paul in Scripture saying these words: honor God with your body. Not get by as best you can and know that we all know we're just spirits, but honor God with your body. Now, Paul's example here again is one, he lifts out one practice that does this dishonoring. He says promiscuity in this passage. But in this instance, it is a symptom of a much larger problem. What we do with our bodies, it matters. What we do with our bodies matter. And much of the time, here's the other piece of this, what we do with our bodies matter, and much of the time we act as though it doesn't. So we have those two things side by side. And I want to, this is from Paul's letter to the United States. You might want to look in your Bible for that, Paul's letter to the United States. It says, I think this is quoting it closely. The salad I would eat, I do not eat. And the very Big Mac that I would not eat, I eat a lot. Okay, there's no letter to the United States. And Paul didn't say that. But I don't think he would disagree with me on that. What we have done is some version of that throughout human history. And I just want to go back, because I've said this every single one of these disciplines, and I probably will with the others, but it's important to see that this one fits. Where we said it was different before, that this was seemed to be a physical thing, and the others were in the mind, and we can embrace that more, but I want you to see how this one fits. So we said that scripture reading was important, but we acknowledged that we struggle to find time to actually be in scripture or to know how to even approach that sometimes at times. We said that solitude is something that Jesus did, and so it's something that we should do as well. And we acknowledged that we struggle to find the time for solitude, because solitude seems like a luxury that we fit in when all the things that must be done, the important things, when we get those out of the way, we can have that moment of solitude or quiet with God. We said that prayer was important, but we acknowledge that there are times where we struggle with that particular conversation, focusing intentionally on it outside of times that are times of critical import to us, where we're called back to it by the demands of our own life rather than seeking out God daily the way you would seek out a friend daily. So in the same way, taking care of our bodies falls right in. Taking care of ourselves, our physical selves, even if you said, well, I feel like my soul is the important part of me, what's carrying your soul around? And so taking care of our bodies is important. And there's a part of our mind that knows this, knows all these things about the things we should be doing to take care of ourselves and how that's important for us, not just today, but it's going to matter what we did now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, however long we live, that we will live with what we are doing or not doing to ourselves at this time. Now, I want to be clear. I am not talking about making our bodies into idols. That is done too much in our culture. Too often our bodies people present us bodies and say, this is what the perfect person would look like, and we should try to be like this. And it's an impossibility for most. I mean, that is not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we should turn our bodies into idol and make spectacles of ourselves trying to fit some impossible role model that it was never intended for us. What I am talking about when I'm saying honoring the body, in a way I'm saying, take care of the church. That we should take care of the church. And here's a couple of scriptures that weren't the scripture this morning, but also Paul. This one's a little later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, you are the body of Christ and parts of each other. You are the body of Christ and parts of each other. When you take care of the body, when you take care of yourself, you are taking care of the part of the church that's you. And when you do that, you are taking care of the larger church as well, because it's all connected. When we do something with the when we do something with the doors of the church, when we paint the outside of the building, we don't do anything in here, but the church is better for it. Yes? That's the way this works. That when you do something, when you take care of yourself, you are doing something not just for yourself, you're doing it for the body of Christ. Another verse, this is from Romans chapter 12. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We are all in this together. We are all important to the process. I went to the doctor this past week, and I need to tell you that this is a sermon that I need to preach to myself, because I was very delinquent until a couple years ago in doing this, and I've become much more into the doctor and what happens there. So I tell you that to say, they take a blood sample, and then they call me back yesterday, and so they're giving me numbers. And they're not just numbers. This number tells the story of one thing, but everything is somehow connected to that one thing. Well, if you are the body of Christ, if you're one part of the body of Christ, if you hurt, if you suffer, if you're not doing well, the rest hurt. And that's what the body is about. So the body functions as one. And I want to say that when we do things that honor the body, when we do things that push ourselves, when we do things, Paul would talk about running the race of faith. And it's obviously a metaphor for the life of faith, but he used it because people understood what he was talking about. That we want to do our best, and it's a way of excelling and striving. So I would say that these things, when Braden and Jude run cross country, they are honoring the body. When Katie runs cross country or plays basketball, she's honoring the body. When Carlito plays football, he is honoring the body. When Jason or Jacob plays soccer, they are honoring the body. When the children, after worship, make a beeline out the door and head for the playground, with all that energy and excitement, they are honoring the body. When Haley and Abby, I saw pictures of them at the lake, when they're in the water and enjoying the sun and the water and just the overall experience of that, they are honoring the body. When just to make sure that I'm not being ageist here, I will say that you don't have to be under 20 to honor the body. And I'm also not saying anything about how old anybody is. But I will say that I know that recently Becky was part of hiking to the top of Mount Macon in the Smokies. When you're hiking around in the mountains, you're honoring the body. I know that Hilda and Betty make a regular practice of walking in the cemetery as a part of what they do, and that when they do that, they honor the body. When we do anything like this, what we're doing is we're pushing the body to do things creatively, to experience God's world, and to take care of ourselves, and we become the better version of what God intends us to be. And when we do these things, we honor the God who gave us the gifts to be able to do these things. But there's more. We honor God when we go to the doctor. When we say that there are people who will help us take care and tend to this body. We honor God. I really need to come out and listen to myself say this one. We honor God when we get enough sleep. When we care for ourselves in such a way that we understand that the body was not made to function on a 24-hour, always awake, always going basis, but that it needs its sleep and its rest. It's the way God made it. And so we honor God when we sleep. I will go so far, and I think this is not a stretch, but this gives you a sense of how you can think about this. We honor God when we brush our teeth. You're caring for a gift that God gave to you. So the spiritual disciplines don't have to be some metaphysical thing that you have to strain your brain to understand. When you take care of a gift that God gives to us, and when God tells us that I live inside of you, you are my temple, that when we take care of that temple, that honors God. This morning again is World Communion Sunday, and we are reminded that we are a church among many churches, and that all of us together make up the church, and together we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ down the street, around the state, around the nation, around the world. And because we are the body of Christ, we are connected. We are parts of each other. Your bodies, our bodies, are holy temples. We have been bought and paid for by God. So the call for you this morning on this World Communion Sunday is a simple one, but as always, not an easy one. Honor the gift that God has given to us. Honor the temple that God chooses to live in. Honor your body. Thanks be to God. Amen.